Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 108, Ian Goldstein. Okay, get ready for a different kind of interview, different style. If you have kids, this could be pretty interesting for you because, you know, at least myself, our kids are older. Youngest is still in college. And, you know, I went to college, and so I expect my kid to go to college, right? So you go to college, you get this job, and you're going to have this job for 30 or 40 years, or you have a career, like I have a career, right? It's not such a same anymore in corporate America. Companies come and go so much faster. There's so many changes outside of your control, and it's different than our parents would have had it. So now, how do you advise your kids? You're kind of in that middle. You see both sides. There aren't many people keeping their job for 30 or 40 years, but yet you kind of want them to go to college. You want them to do better than you. So this kid has figured it out, and I'm excited for him because I know he has figured it out. I think this could make you think a little different, and those of us in an e-commerce business understand the world is changing quickly and it's different. So this might help you in advising your kids. I hope so. Let's get into the podcast. All right. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest, I'm really excited because this is a different direction for me. I have a ton of questions because I'm really trying to understand this generation. I have a son a little bit older than our guest, Ian Goldstein. Welcome, Ian.
Hey, how's it doing? Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming. Ian is 18 years old. Let's get that out of the way. 18 years old. Graduated high school how long ago?
Just last year.
Okay, last year. Graduated high school. Has been a seller for a couple of years, more in the flea market range and that kind of thing, but then moved to eBay. Selling on Mercari, and I'm interested to hear about that because I've never heard of it before, and then Craigslist, so I'm familiar with those. But you have an interesting story. And I'm interested to find out why, you know, you come from an educated family of college graduates. Why haven't you not fallen into that track? Or did you?
Well, all my life, going through high school, I was a huge computer geek. I was doing programming. I mean, I was obsessed with it. Instead of going to, you know, a baseball team, I was the kid that on Saturdays I would go to a programming class at a local university. I was obsessed. It was my life. I mean, I was making apps and programs, and this is all I thought about. So my entire life led up to me going to college and studying computer science and being a computer programmer.
And I just want to make sure, because going to college – when I went to college to study computers is nowhere near, you know, I think about the IT guys in our corporation. Most of them have college degrees that they earned so long ago that they haven't used any of anymore. I mean, it's all so different. And so what were you thinking that you were going to be when you went to college?
Well, I realized that the entire world is moving towards the phone. I mean, a lot of people don't really go on the computers. Everything is in our pockets. We can Skype, we can call, we can email, we can do anything we want from our phones. So I was always going to want to do Android programming, iPhone programming, just developing for that sector of the computer science field.
That was it. You know, it's interesting. I think about our sales reps. Our sales reps have iPads, and that's what they use more because they're younger, more than the desktops that we gave them. They would rather – they're much more comfortable with those iPads. And I notice it. I'm always like, hey, well, you don't want to use it on the computer because that's what I know, right? And they're like, no, just this is good enough for me. And so you're right. It clearly is changing. And in your world, it changed very, very rapidly, right?
Yes, it's been very quick. I mean, even gaming is becoming a huge thing where you can, you know, make games for phones. I mean, Candy Crush was just bought for billions of dollars. The way that the world is moving is just ridiculous.
Well, answer this because I'm thinking about, you know, your age. You know nothing but computers. I mean, do you remember as far back as you can playing on a computer?
Oh, I've been obsessed with computers. I used to fix computers. I would build my own computers. I was obsessed. It was my life.
So you've heard me say, you know, they didn't put them in my high school until my senior year.
Oh.
In the last part of my class, that was the first computers they put in school. And the guy who was teaching it was actually a math teacher because he was the guy,
yeah.
Right? He was not a computer guy. And
And I just remember that. And so the advantage that you guys have, there's no learning curve. I told that too when we're hiring new employees, when we have we're using some archaic systems still, right, and legacy systems. And so they're like, well, you know, they're not going to understand. I'm like, trust me, there's no computer learning curve. All they need to know are the fields and the relevant stuff. The rest of it will be a piece of cake. And it's true. Every single time when we hire somebody who's grown up with computers, they jump right through and just advance so quickly on the stuff that us older people take a long time to get.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, even in our reselling business, can you imagine looking up an item and appraising it without having the internet and now having the computer, like, by your side?
Well, yes, I can, because I used to do that, you know. So yes, it is relevant to me, because you used to have a niche and you got to know it and you had these books. So I have a friend who's a record seller. He's got 40,000 vinyl records and he has a book. And he's always whipping out this book. He's 72 years old, and he's always whipping out this book. And he borrowed my classical record book, as a matter of fact, because he used to get a subscription to this giant book, and he would get a new one every 6 months. And he would whip out this book, and I would whip out my phone and be like, he'd be like, oh, yeah, it's $30. And I'm like, it's 12 bucks. I can buy it right here all day long. And so it's so amazing. And he's like, what? You know, he just can't fathom.
Yeah,
so,
can't process it.
Yeah, there's a definite generation gap, and you see it in the reselling community, because you see it, you're still heavy on the eBay side, mm-hmm. right, where I'm more heavy on the Amazon side now. But I still see it when somebody's transitioning over, especially booksellers, because a lot of that book knowledge is institutional, right? People just know it, you know, and they spent years studying it. And now, and they can only, you know, you think about this, right? You used to be able to buy your books – you know, within a 20 or 30 mile radius of your home.
Oh, yeah.
And then you would mail order, you know, certain things, and it would be, you know, communicate through the phone and send a check, that kind of stuff. Now, when I ship around the world every single day, right? There's no limits anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I live on Long Island. It's a very populated area. I can't even tell you how many bookstores are just closing around us. They're just disappearing.
Well, I'm blown away because you went to college to be this computer programmer. You're not in college anymore.
I'm not. I went for one semester, and my dream, I always wanted to do computers. It's my life. I'm obsessed with it, still am. So I went to private college. I was accepted. I was very excited. It was the college that I wanted to go to. And
all your friends went to college, right?
All my friends went to college. Everyone was doing it. And I'm sitting in my class, my first class, and it's art history. And I'm sitting there on my third day, and I'm saying to myself, I'm a computer science major, and I'm sitting in an art history class learning about cave drawings. And I'm sitting here with a book in front of me that cost me $179 that we're never going to open.
Never.
And it just blew my mind, the amount of classes that I was taking that had nothing to do with what I was learning.
You know, you sit and think about, so I'm going to agree with you here, because I think about what they used to say was, you go to college for the experience, right? It's going to teach you how to get along with others, how to assimilate, you know, how to be a team player. You get the freedom from your parents, so you kind of have to grow up. You're forced to all these life skills. It's all going to happen. You know, quite frankly, a lot of that stuff is being taught in high school now.
Yeah.
A lot of the social skills and a lot of those things. It's or you're experiencing it through Facebook, you would have, or whatever the hot thing is now, right? Snapchat or
Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. So I think some of those social skills are coming in from different places, and I don't think the education community has caught up. Because I agree with you. I mean, what are you going to do with art history?
Nothing.
There's nothing. Nothing. Because if you want to look up something, you're going to Google it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking of Gary Vee. He's always saying these things. And it's true.
Well,
he's
a huge inspiration for me. He's one of the people that really made me go off the deep end and really follow what I wanted to do.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to go deeper, though, because I want to understand where you think you're going. Well, where you thought you were going to go. How it didn't work out because you started to go down that path and said, that's not for me, and where you think you're going to go. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, Or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. All right. Are you blown away yet? This guy understands it. I mean, he's 18 years old, for God's sake. But I love his self-awareness. If there's one thing that you're going to take away from this podcast episode, is that Ian is self-aware. To me, that's probably one of the better skills that you can teach your kids, right? Boys, girls, probably girls more so. Let them be self-aware that they are special. They have skills. And don't get in line with everybody else. I think that's one of the big fears I have about my boys, is that they're just going to get in line with everybody else because that's the way you're supposed to do it. Well, today's day and age, and being on the other side of it, it's not the way you have to do it. I think you want to do what you want to do. And I really appreciate Ian's self-awareness. And as a dad, I'm proud. His dad should be very proud, too. Let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Ian Goldstein, and we're talking about his travels from high school and his love of computers into college and into art history, because that's very relevant to his college degree of computer science, right?
Yeah.
And so what was the track you were on for computer science? Did they have a specialization into, you know, Android phone app kind of stuff?
Well,
or
my high school didn't have any computer programming courses at all. I actually got interested in it through the internet. So what I would do is I would take a lot of computer-esque classes, I like to call it, like graphic design and business applications and all the kind of stuff that would involve me actually just even using a computer. But we never had a specific programming class.
You know, sitting here listening to you, and I guarantee you other people are saying the same thing. This dude's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no – so you did well in school.
Yeah.
Not an ability issue. It's – were you getting – you know, would you say that you started to get bored and you knew you were going to get bored very quickly and probably lose interest?
Well, in high school, you mean?
No, in college. I mean, was that – I mean, could you see that far out to say this isn't going to teach me anything for a while? I really want to go out and learn now. Because you're still interested?
Well, I actually thought that college was light at the end of the tunnel. And The reason why I thought that is because I never actually in high school got to learn the computer stuff that I already knew about but didn't actually dive deeper into. So I was so excited. I thought I was going to walk in there, choose the classes I wanted to take, be the kind of person I wanted to be, but it wasn't like that. It was like I left 12th grade and I went into 13th grade.
Yeah, no, you have to fall in line and follow the track. You get on this track, and that's how you're going to get there, Ian, right? Get on the track.
After I was in it, and I did it for a few months, I became very depressed. I was very upset because I knew this is what everyone does. This is what I have to do. If I don't do this, I'm not going to be anything in life. You have to follow this path. Everyone follows this path. What's wrong with me that this path isn't working for me?
What were your parents saying?
Oh, my parents were livid. They weren't like yelling at me, or they thought I was crazy. They told me, you know, just find another school. It's not you. It's the school. You'll find somewhere else. Maybe you're not, you know, talking to the right people. Maybe these classes aren't for you. You know what you should do, Ian? Go up to the computer chairman and sit down and talk to her and really find out what it is that you're learning about and why you're upset.
Did you?
I did. I sat down. I had a meeting. And I sat down with her, and she started to tell me a little bit more about the computer science program, and she started to tell me all the programming things I was going to do later on in my college career, and the stuff that she was telling me just blew my mind, and I was so livid about it that that's when I knew I had to leave. She was telling me that in my last year, I was going to do a big final project that I'd be allowed to show in job interviews and that would stand me out from other people majoring in computer science. And you know what that was? A video game. I was going to build a video game. Now, nothing wrong with video games, but I was building video games in seventh grade in a summer program. It's nothing that I can't walk up to any you know, I can't walk up to Microsoft and say, hello, my name's Ian. This is a Pong version I made. Hi, would you like to hire me?
You know, it's funny. There is a disconnect because those teachers would have had, you know, advanced, deep, you know, think about the programming languages that they would have used. You're not using anything even close to that today.
She brought up, I don't know if you know the programming language, COBOL.
Oh, my original major was computer science mm-hmm. and accounting. So yes,
we were still learning that in college today.
Well, because there's lots of businesses and government that still uses that. But that's not where the future is, right?
I mean, with the amount of money that I was paying, it was ridiculous. I wanted to be heading towards the future. You know what I'm saying? It's not – we're going backwards here. The people that are teaching these classes are my grandpa's age.
Did your parents eventually learn to understand that?
Well, what happened was I completely just told them I wasn't going. I rebelled the whole system. I told them I didn't want to pay for it anymore. I mean, my parents were helping me out, but I still was had loans. I didn't want it to go into major debt.
Major debt.
It's great. They say that credit card debt is now lower than what college debt is, and you can't even file bankruptcy for it.
Right.
So it's ridiculous. I didn't want to, you know, I know so many kids today, so many people that are graduating school, and they just can't get a job.
Because they didn't learn it.
They didn't learn. They didn't teach us how to work, how to gain skills. They just throw us knowledge, like we're all going to be on the Jeopardy TV show. It doesn't help us. It's true. It's not skills.
Let me just tell you, as a parent of a 19-year-old, so my son's a computer science major. You can appreciate that. He's going to be starting his junior year this coming year, and he struggled the first two semesters. The third semester is when he took his first computer class,
yeah.
So you could relate to that, right? I mean, think about it, right? He was taking, you know, some math and some other things, and he finally got into computers, and he got A's. All of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
And there's a different kid. He's all of a sudden excited because he finally got into it a year and a little bit into his college experience. He finally got into what it was, and there I saw the spark again, and I'm like, ooh. I was a little worried, I must admit. But it's hard to hear from a parent's perspective because, you know, I have a college degree and an advanced college degree. So it's hard to hear that my son doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard generationally. It is hard.
I can
feel for your parents.
Especially my family. I mean, my whole family, my family are teachers in schools. I mean, okay. My uncle is a professor in a college. It was very hard to say, I'm not going, I'm not doing this, and I'm following my dreams.
But you were selling, okay, so we got to get – because we're about selling, right?
Yes.
We are in e-commerce. You know, you were selling at flea markets and you were into video games. That's your thing, right? I mean, that was what you knew.
Yes, in 11th grade, I was very, very big into collecting video games and just my own personal hobby. And when I started looking around and seeing how much some of this stuff is really worth and how I'm buying it for nothingness, I wanted to sell it. So I used to go to a local flea market right near me and wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to save myself a spot, to set up all my tables with all the other people that were doing it. I was the only 11th grader there setting up my table, and I can't even tell you how well I was doing. I was selling out. I would get there at 3 a.m. People would say to like from 3 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon, I would sometimes leave at 11. My tables were empty.
So did that was that a skill set that you learned? I mean, where did that come from? Where did the ability to, you know, to buy and sell, buy cheap, sell high? I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's not. I mean, a lot of people say they can't find things.
It was something that I was doing just as a hobby, and I didn't realize how much potential it really had. I was going around with my dad, and we would just go after work. After he got out, we would just go to a couple garage sales, and we would find some stuff. And I would realize, wow, this is really going for something. People really have an interest in this. It's not just me. And I would go to these flea markets, and I would really – I can't even tell you how much I actually learned from the flea markets. Rather than even being in high school, you learn how to, you know, really count money, how to bookkeep, how to, you know, what's worth buying, what's not worth buying, working with people.
Right, negotiating. I mean, that's critical. Those are critical life skills.
It's crazy. And I was making – I mean, I worked one day. It was a Sunday. I worked one day and I was making more than money than some people in my entire school. It was ridiculous.
At 17 years old. That's funny.
It was great.
Okay. So you decide to, how did you decide to get into eBay? Was it Craigslist first?
So I was always doing the flea markets, and what I realized is that I would always price my stuff using eBay, but I never sold on it. So if I had, you know, Super Mario Brothers and it was going for $20 on eBay, I would also ask $20.
Okay.
So what I realized is that everyone would wheel and deal me, you know, hey, can you do this one and this one for 10? Can you do this one and this one? Yeah, you know, it's a flea market. You got to give in a little bit. You want to turn a profit. But on eBay, I don't have to do that. If the game is going for $20, I put it up there for $20, I'm getting $20. So I had so much inventory I was building. And on eBay, I was known at the flea market for video games, but I was able to expand so much online.
Now, that was interesting to you, the video games. What was the first thing you expanded to?
The first thing I expanded to, I did a lot of books.
Okay.
I did a lot of toys.
So two more things that are interesting, because you're a pretty avid reader, and toys would be something else that would be relevant.
Yeah, I did a lot of nerd culture stuff.
Okay.
Like I would do, I don't know if you know, mangas or like anime comic books.
Oh, yeah.
I would do a lot of those. I would do a lot of stuff that you would find at a Comic-Con.
Okay. And that was interesting to you.
That's just my niche.
And so when you started selling on eBay, were you still selling in the flea markets too?
I was not, no. Once I realized that eBay had way more potential than the flea markets, what I was originally going to do was I was going to hire someone to run my flea market stands, and I was going to operate my eBay. But what happened was is I realized that the inventory that I had at the flea market, I can just get way more for it online. It wasn't worth paying for.
And you can really buy a lot of time. I mean, the beauty of online is you don't have to talk to everyone, as you said.
It gives me a lot more time to go out and source.
Right. You just scale up. You mentioned that your father was going to yard sales with you. Was it his idea to go to yard sale or yours?
Well, what I would do is I was very big into the retro gaming culture. And online, I would see how people would gather these video games. So my dad was always doing whatever I wanted to do. If I wanted to collect games, he was with me. If I wanted to, you know, mountain bike upstate, he was with me. Whatever I wanted to do, he always liked to tag along and help me out with it.
Okay. So that's a strong relationship then. Okay. I was just wondering if he had an interest in it too.
Yeah.
That you could draw back on. So you go to school. Things don't go so well. You say, I'm not going.
Yeah. So
you're out.
I know it sounds crazy. I was so excited to leave, but when I got out, I was really depressed. Because at this point, I was doing eBay, but it wasn't.
You failed, right?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like I was done. I hit rock bottom. I'm not in college anymore. College isn't working for me. And I was doing eBay, but eBay wasn't like, it wasn't what I was like, you know, I didn't think of it as a business. I thought of it as something that I did at that time. So I was really, really upset. I didn't know what to do. But I realized I loved working for myself. I loved being my own boss. I loved, you know, I realized that there's so many ways today that you can make money that you don't always have to take the traditional route. I feel like high school, all they teach you is do really well in school, get into a really good college, get a job.
Right.
But they never teach you.
Work for 40 years and retire.
But there's no pensions today. The way the world works is completely different. But they never teach you to build your own businesses. They never. I try to think of some of the richest people I know who are doing really well for themselves, and they all run their own business.
Well, it's interesting. So you're an avid Gary Vee fan.
Big Gary Vee fan.
Okay. Before him, who were you listening to? Because he's really only come out in the last year and change, hot and heavy, right? Mm-hmm. Who else influenced you?
I know it sounds crazy, but I was always into business, but I didn't know it. I would watch a lot of the Shark Tank TV show. I would watch a lot of Marcus Lemonis, The Prophet. And when I left college, I realized that it was my time to educate myself. I read a lot of business books.
You invested the time.
The amount of money that I was going to spend in college, I spent a fraction of that, and I just read and I read and I read and I read.
You know, the other thing that you have available to you is the YouTube. I mean, you know, YouTube, but just YouTube or Khan Academy, any of those.
YouTube is huge. I
was just looking up something today, and I'm like, first place I go anymore, I don't even Google it anymore. I almost always go to YouTube, and there's a video for I can't think of a thing that I was looking for that I didn't find a video for anymore. Mm-hmm. That is so different. Exactly. Again, you know, back when I think about a car, right, changing your spark plugs in a car. Back when I was younger, there was a Chilton manual you would pull out, and that's what you had to do. Is you had this greasy book, and you had to go to the page and find it. Now, you know, I mean, it's just so simple to find things. So you were able to get right to it. Mm-hmm. That's a big advantage. And, you know, you're getting 4 years of education very quickly. And if you have the ability to absorb it, that's the key, right? And keep sparking the interest. Because as you're running down that rabbit hole, right, mm-hmm. you can keep digging where you're in a classroom. You can't. You got to wait for everybody else to catch up.
Yeah, the way college works today is just crazy. It's not – I feel like they don't set you up for success. I feel like it is a complete business, and you feel it today.
Well, let's be fair. All right, let's be fair. Not everybody has that e-commerce sense about you. You definitely have an entrepreneurial sense. Well, not everybody has that.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to college. I don't think that everyone shouldn't go to college. I mean, right. If you want to be a lawyer, an accountant, a doctor, I mean plenty of other professions – college is a great place to find yourself. Great place.
So you're saying for an entrepreneur?
I'm saying for an entrepreneur or anyone who feels like they don't need it. If you say to yourself, I don't need it. If I'm taking a job or if I want to do this career and I really don't need it, I really can teach myself, I don't think that you need to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for it.
Well, let me ask you this question. Of your friends, how many of them know what they want to do?
I can't name two.
See, there's the point. So we do have to break it down a little bit and say, wait a second, you knew what you wanted to do.
That was the scary part of all of it.
Yeah, and I think that that's the key, is though what you want to do today versus what you could have done back when I went to school in computers, it's such a different world. There was very few, you know, everybody learned COBOL or Fortran or whatever it was back then because that's all there was. Today,
yeah, you got Ruby on Rails, you got Java, you got server programming, app programming.
Yeah, it's so different. And so I think your career choice is so different. But in the accounting world, as you said, you know, you really do need to go because it really doesn't change very much, or it's principle based. And once you get the principles, then you build on them, right?
Yeah.
How about, you know, what are your friends going to school for?
I know a lot of people who are going for graphic design, a lot of people that I know are not majoring in anything. And that's what I feel.
That's pretty scary. Yeah, that's kind of scary. If you don't have
they're taking liberal arts, they're just going with the flow. Which I think is crazy to pay that kind of money to go with the flow.
So you're on the other side of it, and your parents have swallowed it that you're not going back for now?
Once I was able to prove to them that I wanted to be an online seller, this is what I wanted to do, and I'm going to do it, and I was able to really prove to them that it was working, that's when they kind of came on my side.
And they said, maybe you're onto something. Now, have you developed any of the – so you're not on the Amazon side as much, and I know you're going to dip your toe there eventually.
Yes,
the hot thing in Amazon right now is extensions. I mean, I know Five Guys, and that's what they're doing. They're pounding out the Chrome extensions, mm-hmm. Or they're scraping, you know, coming up with new scrapers to go out there into these databases and bring back data. The data is getting faster, more precise, more relatively more accurate, and they're slicing and dicing. That's the hot thing today. Is that something that would be interesting to you, do you think, in the future?
Absolutely. I love the fact that you can do that with Amazon. The only thing that I keep pulling myself towards eBay is that I feel like it's my store, my business a little bit more. I think that FBA is great, that you can ship them all your stuff, like you can ship all your items to them and just, you know, be done with it and watch the money, you know, pour into your bank account. But I feel like eBay gives me a chance to be my own person.
Well, and that's why you have a Mercari. I'm going to say that again because I'm not familiar with that site. Mercari, M-E-R-C-A-R-I, and I'll have a link to that. Mercari, and that is
–
it's like a Craigslist, but you mail stuff.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, you can just take your phone out. You can go into – I mean, even if you're not a reseller, you go into your closet. You find that old pair of shoes you're not wearing. You snap a picture of it, write a little description, and then they give you a very easy breakdown. Is it a big, medium, or small item? This is how much the shipping is going to be. Do you want to pay for the shipping? Do you want to charge the buyer shipping? You can go so many options, and then you just put in your bank account number, and you're done.
And so – you're still – is mostly video games? Is that mostly what you're selling through
that? Mostly video games as of right now. That's just my niche, and that's what I'm very good at.
Okay. And so walk me through the process. So I go in, and you have it for sale for $10, let's just say, plus shipping. And so I say, I want to buy it. Tell me how the process
works. You can – so here's how it can work. There's a message board right on the item. So you can say, hey, Ian, would you do $8? And I can either say yes or no, or you can just click the buy it now item, the buy it now button, and you can either use the money that you've made selling other items on Mercari.
Oh, it's sitting in like a PayPal account, exactly. Their own kind of, okay.
Exactly. So if you have a pair of shoes, you make $20 on it, you can now take your $20 and buy one of my games for $20.
Hmm. So you never really have to take possession of the money if you don't want
to. You
can let it roll.
You can just keep shopping and shopping.
That's interesting. So I say I want to pay for it, and if I don't have any money, I put in my credit card somewhere in their system. They handle that transaction. You get paid, calculate shipping.
So here's how it works. So say it's a medium-sized item. They have like a deal, I guess you can say, with the Postal Service where it's like a regulated rate, I guess you can say. And so say you pay for shipping. Then I get a shipping label to my email. I print it out. I send you the item. I still don't get paid yet. Here's how it works. You get the item delivered to you. Now it's your job to go on Mercari and say, got the item. Once that happens, the money is now released to my balance.
Now what happens when they say, I didn't get it, and yet they did?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, like when eBay, they know when the item is delivered.
Okay, so it's the tracking
exactly
that really drives that. And so because they're giving you a label, there's always tracking,
correct,
right?
That's it.
And so that starts the process. Exactly. Okay. And so there has to be – and so if they never reply, do you automatically get your money at some point?
You have to, like, message Mercari. It is a little bit annoying. I haven't had it that many times yet, but usually everyone – because your phone buzzes. The best thing about it is it's always on your phone. It's kind of like when you get the item, they send you, like, a message, like you got a text message reminding you to do it.
And it'll just keep pestering you until you do something, right? The annoying factor.
Yeah.
I like it. And so you've had some success with it. Do you see it sticking around? Do you see it scaling
definitely
up?
Definitely going to stick around. They don't charge – the best thing about it as of right now, if someone wants to get into it, there's no fees. So you sell your item. You can either charge shipping, not charge shipping, and that's it. Mercari makes nothing as of right now.
They make the money on the credit card processing, right?
I believe – well, soon they're going to be charging fees like eBay.
Okay.
But as of right now, there's nothing. They're just growing the app.
Huh. And so it's app-based only?
Yeah, phone-based only.
Nice. And is it tied to your Facebook account or not?
No, it's just your own. You really can't find a person. Like, if you make an account, I can't really look you up and go to your store. It's more item-based.
Okay. Okay. And would you say that things are selling comparable to eBay or comparable
I'd
to Amazon?
The exact same price that eBay has it for. It's the exact same price as Mercari.
Okay. Okay. So that's pretty cool. And then you're still selling on Craigslist. Walk me through, are you buying more on Craigslist or selling more on Craigslist?
I actually don't buy that much on Craigslist, but I sell a lot of bigger items. Like if I go to a garage sale and I see a giant old television or an old radio or a classic bike, something that's just a hassle and I'm not going to do local pickup on eBay for, Craigslist is a great source still.
Because things have – you have expanded your knowledge base just through osmosis, right? Just going to these things, you start to learn.
Just, I mean, if you actually just go on YouTube, just finding all these people that are all into the same business, you start to learn. You know, my niche is video games, his niche is this, his niche is that. And you just kind of all share your knowledge.
So, you know, that's an interesting point. At your age – you're out there talking to guys my age, yeah, because you have a common interest, right? You have a common interest, and so you're able to get those social skills there. That's very interesting. Again, I sit back as a father, and I get concerned about my son. But my point to him all the time is, you know, don't chase money. Do what you want to do. You know, do what you love. Don't count on a company to hold you for the next 30 years because it's not going to happen.
Best thing that I liked about computer science is that your son has so many ways he can go. He can be a cybersecurity person. He can build his own app. He can do whatever he wants. That's why I loved computers. There's just so many aspects.
Well, he's also helps in the business on our family business here, and he's actually going to work for one of the Young Guns. Have you ever heard? Have you heard my interviews with the Young Guns? He's going to work for one of them in September.
That's awesome.
And I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited for him to learn because A, the guy's a great guy, but I'm excited for him to get some more perspective because I think a lot of what we do, really, you have to get perspective, right? You see those people out there posting $1 million, right? And you say, oh, my God, I'm terrible because I'm not selling $1 million. Well, no, you don't realize what it takes for them, $1 million,
yeah,
to sell $1 million. And are you willing to give up what they give up? Maybe not. You know, that doesn't make it wrong or right. It just makes it something different. And that perspective will help you realize, well, maybe this is not what I want to do.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many ways you can go and expand on this business. I mean, I haven't even touched Amazon yet. I mean, I've looked into it. I know all about it. But I can expand so much just stepping my foot into Amazon a little bit.
Yeah, video games are a great product on Amazon. Great. It's a very, very large piece of their business. And used video games sell sometimes even higher on Amazon than they do on eBay. Now, you get the same scams and the same, you know, the same issues on all that stuff, but that's just part of the business.
Yeah.
So your parents have seen some success. They're sitting back and saying, have either one of them taken an interest in what you do, like saying, hey, I see this sale down here and they got a lot of video games. You better get over here.
Oh, absolutely. My parents have been consumed with my business. They love it. My mom, I even convinced my mom to do Mercari. She loves it. And she does a lot of retail arbitrages that she likes shopping a lot. She'll go to Target, Macy's, all these stores, and she'll retail arbitrage right onto it on Mercari.
Okay, so this is going to be a corny comment, but your relationship with your parents now sounds stronger.
Yes, I mean, I've never not been close to my parents, but we had a very rocky road, I guess you can say, when I did drop out of college.
Well, but here's where I'm going with it, though. You guys now have something in common, and it's hard for an 18-year-old kid to have something in common with his parents. So the fact that you do with this selling, and now they're getting into it too, gives you some common ground for that relationship to really sprout in a way that if you did go to college and you went off in your IT job and you went to work at Google – it would never have happened. It would never happen.
Oh,
I'm just telling you, you'd be, you know, calling in once a week or once every 2 weeks, and the relationship would never get a chance to develop. This is a side product of this. It's very interesting. I'm trying to understand it because what I see you, because I'm a Gary Vee follower. I'm a closet Gary Vee follower. As a matter of fact, I was listening to Gary Vee, and then I saw Chris Green mention Gary Vee, and I'm like, that's interesting. He's into him, too. And I never made the connection.
Gary,
and he's been all
unbelievable. I mean, this new book that asked Gary Vee, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I bought copies for my sons and gave them to him. I think, you know, his foul language is a little bit rough for me. Not my cup of tea. But
yeah, that is a
I get where he's coming from, though. He's saying the truth, and he's speaking to your generation.
Absolutely.
And you're the one of the first of your generation that I've interviewed. You're the youngest for certain. I've had a couple guys in their 20s. But I was interested to find out where you think you're going to go. So let's walk through the next year or two. Don't give me the next 50 years of your life because, let's face it, neither one of us knows what's going to happen 2 years down the road. But the next 1 or 2 years, what are you thinking is going to be your plan?
My big plan, I guess you can say, is I would love to – right, I love eBay. I definitely want to expand my eBay store incredibly. I do want to touch upon Amazon and do mostly used electronics. That's mm-hmm. I know a lot of, you know, electronics very well and – you know, TVs and radios and all stuff like that. But my plan is to maybe hopefully open up a store locally where I can do online sales as well as walk-in retail.
So I did an interview with Peter Cosessa. This is interview. I have to find his number. And he has two retail stores, and he's out there. Craigslist Hunter is his name. Okay. And so what blew me away, I mean, I knew how smart he was, right? But what I loved when he said it, it took about two times for me to hear it, and then I understood what he does. His store is really not to sell stuff, although he does sell things, and that's a good thing, especially bigger things, kind of like you're talking about. But his store is to buy things.
Exactly.
And, you know, because I'm always thinking, oh, man, you're going to have to be open a million hours. You're going to have all these employees. You're going to have to – well, no, if your store is designed to buy things, you really don't have to be. You have to be open when you're ready to be open, quite frankly, and you buy when you want to buy. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah, I do a lot of garage sales and stuff like that in flea markets to gain sourcing. But, like, you see hundreds of these stores today. We buy gold. We buy your jewelry. To have a store like this where people can walk in – and sell you their stuff that they would like to get money for, maybe that rare autographed item or, you know, that item that you would never see at that garage sale is a huge plus.
Episode 63, Peter Cosessa. And it is exactly what you described, and that's what he's done, and that's why he does it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. He pays a higher price. He's like, Steve, I pay a little bit of a higher price because I want him to come back. But I get to pick through it. I get to see it working. Yeah. I get to – they're bringing it to me. They're only negotiating with me. I don't have to worry about somebody else coming in and swooping in and taking it. If we can make a deal, I get the product, and I didn't have to go anywhere to get it. I'm like, oh, that's smart. I mean, that is really, really smart.
Yeah, it's the new age pawn shop.
Well, it is, and what's interesting is you have the ability to get instant knowledge. Right, you instantly look up the market. You know what the market value is, right? You either use WorthPoint or, you know, just eBay completed listings. You immediately know what the value of that thing is. Again, talking about what we started the conversation with, when you're talking to an old guy who used to sell things, well, he had to study books and books and books about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even have to go to a computer. I can just grab my phone, a tablet, whatever I have next to me.
And instantly know. So that's a little bit longer plan. Do you think there's a chance that you'd ever go back to school? I asked you that question maybe about 2 weeks ago. Do you think there's a chance?
I mean, honestly, I still talk about it today. I still constantly think about it. I don't think I want to do computers anymore. I am obsessed with this entrepreneur thing. I love having my own business. I don't think that going to school and majoring in entrepreneurship, though, is something that's worth my time and money.
I agree with you. Here's the thing, though, is that you can't measure yourself because you're going to come up against guys, you know, at an entrepreneur conference. And if you're a speaker and you're the only one without the college degree, do you think less of yourself, right? You can't let that define you because you're choosing a career, a path that, quite frankly, lots of people don't have those degrees, or their degrees have nothing to do with what their what their business is, right? They have it in, you know, whatever, journalism, and they're, you know, they have this massive e-commerce business, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so if I ever do regret not going to college, I always know deep down in the back of my mind, I can always go back. They're always going to take my money. They're never going to turn me down. It's just I'm going to be so far behind. I don't want to be a 30-year-old. I mean, I know a lot of people do it.
Oh, don't make me sound so old. Now you're making me old. My birthday was yesterday. Now you're making me feel old. A 30-year-old, like that's so old. Oh.
Well, can you imagine starting again from ground zero? No accounting, no nothing. And you say, I want to be an accountant. And you start from ground zero.
I think about learning a language at this point in my life, and I think to myself, do I really want to commit that little bit of brain space I have left while, you know, it's harder for me to absorb things? No.
Yeah.
And so I pass on it. So, no, I agree with you. I think your perspective is really great because you're focused. And so the reason Gary V is driving you, is he in your ear right now? Because he's really hot. I've noticed this last week. He is dropping these two-minute you know, snippets from his conversations saying, you got to go for it, you got to go for it, you got to go for it. Are you watching a lot of that?
I watch Gary Vee constantly. I mean, one of the best things that he ever says, and I have it in my room, blown up, right against my bed, is regret is a huge poison. And I love honestly, I love what I'm doing. It's working. I love it. It's fun. I'm my own boss. I mean, I don't know how many other people at this stage of their lives can really say that. And I don't want to regret. Like, I didn't want to stay in school and say coulda, woulda, shoulda. And right. He's right about that.
He's definitely right about that, because that's when he. I love when he says he interviews old guys,
yeah.
And that's what they say.
Yeah, the first
they have
thing
regrets.
They say, I wish.
You know, oh, I wish I would have worked more. Right? Nobody says that. Right? They.
Yes.
So how do you balance it now? So how are you setting up your week? You're still living at home, I take it?
Yes, I'm currently living at home. I do plan to move out, get my own apartment. I mean, things are going pretty well right now that I can do that.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm just. You know, packing, listing, constantly sourcing.
Okay. And so you're still getting time to go out and do the things you enjoy, though?
See, one of the things that, you know, having your own business kind of affects is a little bit of your social life. Because you have to realize something now. A lot of my friends are in college and are in that college mentality. Well, I am building a career, I guess you can say.
Okay. And so you're putting that time in now while you're young, while you have it focused, trying to develop it and get it to it. Well, you scaled it up pretty impressive. I mean, I saw your numbers, very impressive, and you're growing. I mean, to me, you get that. You need to grow, but you're growing smartly, and I think that's a real important thing. So I think, you know, I think you're right on. I mean, I sit back and I was a little nervous because – I don't want to encourage people not to go to school, but I think I do want to encourage the people who aren't going to get anything from school not to go to school.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that the entire world should just stop going to school and, you know, argue with their parents. But if you're aiming towards a career that you don't need it, I don't think that spending all of that money and going into that kind of debt is worth it.
Love it. Dude, I think you're onto something. I think there's a lot more of you coming. I think you're one of the first. I think there's a wave of your age group who are going to, and it's, I'm going to use this term, rebel against the system and say, you know what? No, I'm going to do it on my terms.
Absolutely.
I want to do it on my terms, which, you know, my bet is if you ask your grandfather that same question, he would be like, absolutely, man, do it on your terms, right?
I'm telling you, you're going to see... I'm telling you, bet for the future. Colleges are going to close down, and there's not going to be no school, but there's going to be very specific schools. Like, if you want to be a programmer, you're going to go to the computer coding school. If you want to be an art person, you're going to go to that art-heavy school. Everything is going to be separate so that people can learn the skills that they want to learn.
And a lot of it, you're not going anywhere. It's going to come right to you. I mean, that's the other big thing is that today – you could sit at your house and get that full education. The same.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a brother-in-law is a professor, and he's in California. He also teaches classes in Philadelphia. And so in Philadelphia, there's a classroom. Sometimes he's teaching both classrooms at the same time, and there's microphones and video cameras and screens, and he literally is teaching both classrooms from California.
Yeah, it's incredible the way that.
And think about that. And so you don't even have to leave your house in some cases. I mean, to get that same. What you're paying a fortune, you know, to go to that school for, you get the same experience. Dude, I'm very excited for you. I can't wait. You're going to have to come back and give me an update. We'll save it about a year, and I want an update. I want to know where you're going, what worked, what didn't work. What worries you? Is there anything that worries you?
I mean, the only thing that really worries me is that even if I sold on Amazon, Craigslist, eBay, I'm always worried that I'm playing on their side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm reliant on them. I mean, you have to realize they can even get hacked. I know that's like a, you know, crazy thing, but it's happened to them. And these people can get hacked. You can, you know, mess up. You can get something against you. You always have to be aware that you're playing on their field. So that's one thing that I always keep in the back of my mind when I'm doing this.
Well, here's one piece of advice for you on that, you know, is, and I hear that too, you know, you're, especially on Amazon, it's much more likely your account can get shut down, right? Because if things outside of your control, things in your control will get you shut down too. So if you don't play that rule, but things outside can also do that, right? But here's the key. is there somebody will replace him. Somebody else will rise up. Macari, for example, I'm not familiar with it, never heard of it before. They came from somewhere. There was a startup there, and there's a market there. My bet is there are people that are killing it there on Macari, right? And so you know, if eBay shuts down, something will replace it, right? Amazon, you know. So I think learning the skills now, getting good at it on multiple channels now. I mean, I would get on Amazon right away because you want to learn it, even if you don't stay with it, just so you know it, so you can learn the value. Because when the next thing comes along,
I have an account. I don't really go heavy into it. I've sent a few things in.
No. My older son uses it, and he sold. As a matter of fact, we were at a yard sale a couple weeks ago, and he bought something, and he listed it in the ride back to the house, and it sold before he left on the weekend because he's a merchant fulfilled on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never do video games on there, and I'm like, that's really interesting. I mean, it's interesting that he was just able to do that. He's like, no, this is no good on eBay, but on Amazon, he said I'll get $12 or something like that. He's like, yeah, no big deal.
It's crazy.
Love it. Okay, so if somebody has questions for you, am I okay putting your Facebook contact out there?
Yeah, I'm on Periscope. I'm very active on there. Just Golden
Age
Games. You can search that. Instagram, Golden Age Games, all one word. You can always, you know, check out my eBay store if you want to see how things are running. stores.ebay.com/GoldenAgeGames1. And I'm on Facebook as well as Ian Goldstein.
Man, I'm going to put all these out there. So you'll have to email me all those links.
You got it.
Okay, and I'll do that. Man, I wish you nothing but success. You got to reach out if you need help in any possible way. Reach out to me. Reach out to anybody you see on my any one of my interviews. These guys would love to see you be successful. You're going to be quite the conversation for us because it's interesting to me as the next generation comes up, the difference between ours and yours. As all we are from our parents, it's really an interesting transition, and I see it, and I think you're at the forefront of it, and I think you're going to be amazingly successful, though.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Man, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Man, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I am so proud of Ian because he has figured it out. He has figured out who he is. And he's not going to just get in line with everybody else. And I just think that's such a great skill. I'm going to invest my effort and time into him. Please reach out to him if you think you could too. I just think there's something here. And I think he's on the front end of a different change in generations. And I think he's one of the first. But there's going to be a lot more coming. And isn't that cool to be able to have a generation of doers as opposed to those who just get in line again and let life happen to them? There's no chance life is going to happen to Ian. He's going to make it happen for himself. Hope you enjoy this. ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.